Rob Black.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Do try the chips.
Omega.
It really is. It's a screwdriver and it's sonic.
Mace.
I'm not just a Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Excuse me, do you mind not farting while I'm saving the world?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to 2016, everyone. Where I'm sure nothing will go wrong in the world of pro wrestling this year. Thrilled everyone agrees with me. Kicking off our first show of the year, I am the be-all, end-all of our network, the Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am back. I am now in 2016. Thank God I have the internet back. And by the way, unlike the WWE, you sound somewhat professional this week, Omega.
I'm trying to.
Your sound clarity is very professional, like you finally got rid of some issues.
Like my microphone is no longer on my desk, and I have to keep the sensitivity up to, like, half max just so people can hear me.
At least it's no longer thump 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 on a keyboard.
Well, wait till I have to type something. Yep. Thump thump is still to be determined.
Indeed. But yes, a happy welcome to 2016 to all. And yeah, it still, you know, feels like a Monday. Well, Sunday night for you guys.
And on that note of optimism, at the head of the table, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
If you're ready, give me a hell yeah.
Meh.
Double meh.
If it's Monday in Australia, give me a hell yeah.
I'm not falling for your obvious setup, Tim.
There was no setup. I was just doing that for no reason at all. Honestly! Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy fucking New Year. Did that sound bitter?
Slightly.
Yeah, well, I'm slightly bitter. It's a long story. Anyway, did you get what you guys wanted for Christmas?
Well, I don't know, because I got a gift card and I still have yet to go and buy anything with it, so to be determined.
Oh, well, let's hope that whatever it is that you got your sight set on is available when you go and cash in your gift card. What about you, Omega?
Well, I'm still waiting on that busload of porn stars to crash outside my house, but beyond that, I'm pretty happy.
Every now and then, you just, like, pop up with something I have absolutely no expectation of you coming close to saying. That's one of it.
Well, that's what comedy is. It's doing something that you don't expect somebody to do.
Finding out where the line is and then deliberately stepping across it.
Pretty much.
This is why we like comedy so much. It's just too bad we don't practice it here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, practice, yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Eh. Well, we try. Sometimes. Some of us. So, well, yeah. No, everybody tuned in listening. I hope you had a great holiday season, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or any kind of Christian faith that follows that silly tradition of throwing a tree inside your house and putting lights on it. And for those of you who don't follow the Christian persuasion, whatever holiday that you observe, I guess some people follow Kwanzaa and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not that versed on it. All I know is Christmas is presents giving time, and Well, I gave a couple presents and that's about it. But we're back, and I guess back to regular scheduled programming. Just waiting for the Royal Rumble to show up. I guess that's in, what, 3 weeks now?
Yes, three long, long, long weeks away.
So, and of course, as we get closer to Royal Rumble, we'll be talking more and more about it. So, but let's just jump ahead to WrestleMania 32 with the discovery that The Rock is going to be appearing. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yay.
If I had a soundboard, I'd be playing the noise that crickets make.
We should get your soundboard then. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's effort. I can't be bothered doing that.
Can't be bothered. There you go. Yeah. People have been speculating and asking and stuff. Is he going to have a match, or is he just going to, like, show up and be a talking head? I can see him being a talking head, but that's about it. If he was going to have a match, wouldn't they have hyped something before now?
He's not going to have any match because studios aren't going to let him have a match.
His insurance writers. Isn't he currently, like, filming yet another The Rock movie or Dwayne Johnson movie or whatever he calls himself nowadays?
What's the one he's up for now? I know he does have some kind of filming around WrestleMania time, so yeah, he's definitely not stepping in the ring for any match.
Yeah, that would astound and shock and surprise me if he did. And besides, who would he wrestle, really?
The Miz.
Just to throw a name out there, hey, Miz?
It's happened before. This caps off their feud that has been 5 years in the making, or however it was.
Hollywood versus Hollywood, eh?
Yeah, and by the way, The Rock is currently recording for, I have no idea how to pronounce this because it is Samoan, and I'm going to fuck it up anyway, Moana. He's playing the main character in it that just looks like a fat representation of himself.
Yeah, absolutely no idea what any of that is. So, but everybody, you're prepared now because we've informed you that The Rock is showing up at WrestleMania 32. However, before that, we got the Royal Rumble. Check it out. Big Show has claimed that he's the first entrant in this year's Royal Rumble. And there was confusion. People didn't know if he was saying that he's the first entrant or if he's entering at number one. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught it. Kind of confusing when I first heard it.
Unfortunately, I have caught absolutely nothing this past week.
Oh, there you go. So this is going to be a fun talk.
Oh, it is. It's great when all your cable services go out for 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's. Amazing.
Oh, that sucks. So you missed all the Christmas movies. Unless you, of course, have them on DVD or your computer or whatever.
I have all the good ones on my computer.
That's all that matters then. Did you watch A Christmas Story?
I did because it's in the folder.
There you go. That's like got to be a tradition. You've got to watch A Christmas Story, people. And that's all there is to it. Every year at Christmas time, that's got to be on your list of must-watch movies. Oh, my God, did you watch it?
No.
You're a bad boy.
Hey, blame, was it TBS that airs it?
No wonder the, what were you saying, the busload of supermodels never crashed on your front lawn?
Well, I got so damn sick of that movie airing 24 hours straight. So fucking ridiculous.
So there you go.
It's the one day a year where you can channel surf the entire day and still catch an entire movie in the process.
Every time you flick the flicker. Yeah. They don't call it
But now we have our new Christmas tradition, hopefully, or if, you know, Disney gets their way, of a new Star Wars film in December.
Oh, well, speaking about new Star Wars film, you guys have seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Twice.
Okay. Twice. Oh. There you go.
Four times.
I will admit to seeing the movie. But
look who has a big lightsaber.
Yeah. I could
2 weeks without cable TV or internet. What else was I supposed to bloody do?
I could praise the movie, but I could also trash it at the exact same time. All I will say is that it's worth watching. But I have
it's
a list.
It's not
of,
the prequels. That's the most important thing.
That. Absolutely number one, but I do have a list of bitches and grievances about it that I'll air down the road after we know the majority of people have watched it and I don't have to worry about spoiler alert bullshit. So
I love how it's like close to being the number one highest grossing domestic movie of all time here in a couple days, and people are still gun shy about spoilers.
Goes to show how much respect people have for the franchise.
Or how much people fear nerds who like to wield swords.
Nah. All I could see was was it the pimply faced teen from The Simpsons trying to chase after people? Comic book guy right at the back going, "Worst spoiler ever."
Yeah, you can't have any kind of intimidation when the most famous one on the internet is the Star Wars kid flailing his imaginary lightsaber and stumbling over everything in his what I remember to be a barren room, but still stumbling over shit.
Yeah. So, considering we've now sidetracked so far, Royal Rumble, Big Show, mm-hmm. Curtis Axel in it. Does this mean Curtis Angle?
Angle?
Curtis Axel. Oh my god, 2016, I'm already fucking my lines up. Yay!
Yeah, hey, hey.
Curtis Axel, do we keep the timer going? He was never eliminated last year. We are going to hit 365 days.
Yeah, how about something different?
I want to see him come out with the timer going. And then his elimination this year counts as last year's.
Omega, what's your take on Curtis Axel heading to the Royal Rumble?
There's part of me that really wants him to not make it to the ring again.
Okay.
You know, I want him to spend the year saying he was in two Royal Rumbles. I'm simultaneously in the last two Royal Rumbles still. No, here's what I would love. Like, this is someone mentioned, like, Curtis is going in through the Rumble as just kind of a joke because, haha, Curtis Axel. I have the most brilliant booking idea for him. I absolutely love this. Hit list. He gets eliminated. He doesn't get into the Rumble, same as last year. For the rest of the year, before the next Rumble, his mission is to find all 29 other people in that Rumble and dump them over the rope. He can run in during promos and pitch Miz out of the ring. It could be during a match. Win or lose that match. If he managed to dump a motherfucker over that top rope, he won.
Would this lead to a showdown with the Royal Rumble winner at some point in time?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah. Before next year's Royal Rumble?
Yeah. So you run this weird gimmick where he tries very hard not to get tossed over a top rope himself. Well, that's all he tries in a match. Just get him over the top. Victory to me.
That might be interesting, to tell you the truth. What do you think of this booking, Mace?
I like it. The Curtis Axel over the top rope challenge.
And just have him come out like after, say, the Miz wins a match and he sneaks up behind the Miz and throws him over the top rope.
Right.
And then R-Truth comes out and before his match even starts, he comes out from under the ring and throws him over the top rope and then buggers off.
And then it's R-Truth, so he gets real upset because now he thinks he lost the match.
But the ref tries to tell him, no, the match hasn't started yet. Get back in the ring. A year-long running joke. If they do it right, that would be actually gold. Hell, that'd be close to platinum, I think.
So if to state, I am not a mole. If this happens at some point, this is... Someone in Stanford is writing down what we say.
You know what? If somebody in Stanford is listening to this, I hope you like follow through with what, you know, the concept Omega brought up. We won't even try to take, you know, credit for it everywhere on the internet, just in some places. But Christ, this would be priceless. Do it. Why not?
Because it would be entertaining. We can't have that.
Well, it would be our form of entertaining as opposed to WWE's idea of what would be entertaining.
What, the League of Nations?
Boring. So, I like that. That's actually a good idea. And, of course, we'll be talking, by the way, everybody, about we're going to do a really quick Down and Dirty Year in Review show. We didn't really spend a week or two planning this out, which we probably should have instead of this being a spur of the moment decision. So stick with us on that one. But continuing on with our little rundown here that we do have, a couple weeks ago, Vince McMahon got arrested on Raw. And apparently the New York Police Department telephone lines blew up. People were calling in saying, throw the book at that son of a bitch, yada, yada, yada. So jeez. Apparently it was just the police that they used were just a little bit too believable.
I'm guessing this was some sort of dumb storyline that they had for the night, yeah?
Oh, you missed it, eh? Yeah, it was, what was it, the week after Roman Reigns won the championship and Steph came out and was bitching at him, and she came out with a couple of cops and told them to arrest him. And the cops, well, we're not going to arrest him, this, that, and the other thing. Vince comes out, and the cops get in Stephanie's face. Stephanie pulls a billion-dollar princess thing, and cop says, you know, back off or you're going to jail. Vince gets mad and grabs the cop by the lapels, so he gets arrested for assaulting a police officer.
So he's arrested on live TV, so people watching at home actually call the police department.
In Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yeah.
Why? The guy's arrested.
Well, I saw the whole thing on TV,
interesting. It's an interesting little swerve on the traditional way, which would be, you know, to get Roman Reigns sent off for the night or something. But, yeah, okay. So Vince was one slight little twist. Not bad. Stupid people, though, for calling the police station and going, hey, throw the book at him.
Well, this is not the first time something like this has happened. After people watching an episode of WWE programming. I can't remember specifically, but I do remember a few years ago, something went down and people were calling the police in the town that Raw was being held at and trying to file police reports because of what they saw on TV.
My God.
Please, if the police were called and actually did their job for 95% of the stuff that you see on TV, most of those wrestlers would be in jail 24-7.
Okay. Why did you call in the murders you see on CSI Miami while you're at it?
I wouldn't be surprised if there are people who do that.
Well, you know, that just reminds me of these TV shows that I see that have characters like that who believe all of this shit's real. They actually did something like that. Law and Order had somebody who was absolutely lost in TV land and believed that everything she was watching was real. I think she was a potential juror, got dismissed from a trial, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. But like Ron White says, you just can't fix stupid.
You gotta remember, we're talking about a species that at one point in time believe that H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, a radio play, was an actual invasion of the planet.
Owings Mills, was it Owings Mills or something like that? Somewhere in New Jersey that took place. It was, what, in the 1930s, and people were all freaked out because it was a Halloween program. And they came back after this commercial break they had right in the middle of the broadcast, War of the Worlds. And like every 10 minutes, they were doing a disclaimer because of the panic it had caused. People, this is just a radio play. Calm down and listen. And of course, the whole thing about that set up Buckaroo Banzai, the movie, if you remember.
Never saw it.
Oh, Mace, you saw the movie.
I've seen it, and I've got a copy that I was going to give to Christopher Lloyd to sign, but I never got around to it.
I had always wondered what happened with that, because we had talked about that, and you're trying to figure out, well, what should I get? What should I take with me for him to sign? And you didn't want to do your standard Back to the Future stuff and all, or Taxi or anything. And I came up, well, we'll do something a little bit more obscure. Take Buckaroo Banzai. He was in that.
Yeah, I ordered it, got it shipped in, and then I forgot to take it with me to the convention.
Oh, no, you forgot. Ah!
Mace, I'll be honest, seasoned professional at this that I am, I have done that too.
I've never been much of an autograph seeker. I think I've gotten maybe 3 autographs in my entire life. One of them was Howie Mandel. And you know how Howie seems like a really big idiot when he's on stage? He's apparently like that in real life.
How many times did he wash his hands after meeting you?
Oh, he didn't. You were expecting him to?
Oh, I'm just following what I know of the guy.
Ah, his germophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
it's that, and he did a kid's cartoon called Bobby's World. That's as far as my Howie Mandel goes.
Okay, well, this was way back when he still had his curly black hair. He was doing the stand-up, and he was walking around with that fucking shoulder thing that was in the shape of a hand, called it his handbag.
Oh.
So yeah, he was you know, like I said, this was a long, long time ago. And every July here in Calgary, we got something called the Exhibition and Stampede, which is, you know, it's a rodeo show with the midway rides and stuff like that. And my brother used to work at a local radio station here, and they had something called the XL Fun Bus, which is just a great big Greyhound bus, all refurbished on the inside, and it was a portable radio studio that they would park on the grounds and set up, you know, like instead of a booth or whatever. And Howie Mandel showed up to do a live radio interview. That's how I met him, because I was helping my brother out. He basically recruited me to work the crowd at the Fun Bus, and it was just a case of making sure people got entry forms for some kind of giveaway the radio station was doing. And that's how I met Howie Mandel. And he just seemed like a total idiot in real life, because, you know, talking to him when he wasn't on, you know, and performing for people, seemed like a bit of an idiot. He had a handler with him, which is kind of funny. But no, I never got Bret Hart's autograph, Chase. Never have. Never felt the need to do it. So yeah. Anyway, that's in case you missed that. That was just a chuckle that all these people, you know, called in to the Brooklyn Police Department over
idiots.
That. Yeah. Well, what can you do? People, it's just it's television. It's not real life. And of course, I guess we have a championship match set up for Raw tomorrow night. Roman Reigns versus Sheamus. But hey, special guest referee happens to be Vince McMahon. We're expecting that tomorrow night.
Well, they are trying so hard to make Roman Reigns into Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, I don't see that so much as they're trying really hard to get Roman Reigns over with the crowd. This is that push that you kept talking about and alluding to all year long, Mace, where they're doing everything they can to get the crowd to cheer for him instead of having a chorus of boos erupt every time he makes his entrance. And they figure that having Vince McMahon show up and be part of the mix might help out. I don't know. Is it going to?
To be honest, not really, because now you've relegated your so-called biggest heels at the moment in the League of Nations as basically Patterson and Briscoe.
Yep.
You know, you don't really – the only guy who ever got over with battling the McMahons – well, two people, actually. Foley and Stone Cold. Stone Cold, because of what it was at the era, you know, it was the era of the blue-collar workers standing up for their rights against the boss.
Yep.
And Foley's was just a very well-played feud between him and Triple H.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of that stuff is almost organic, whereas this just feels forced. It's like, okay, we need... Sorry, it's... My body decided to try and kill itself then.
Wonder what happened. You just, like, all of a sudden stopped, and I started thinking maybe his internet went out again.
Yeah.
No. My throat's playing up. A lot of the stuff occurred organically. This is just forced. This is just, we need to get Roman Reigns over, but we can't really put him in the ring with anybody because anyone he goes up in the ring with is going to get cheered. So we'll have him go up against the most inactive people that we can that can still garner boos, being the Authority.
I honestly can't think of any way they could direct it in an organic fashion from here out, especially after everything they've done.
They've pretty much got to stick to the course now. Mm-hmm. The Reigns versus the Authority / McMahon is how they're going to have to push him from now on. And once that's over and done with, he's either over or they might as well take the belt off him and give it to somebody else.
How long do you see them maybe keeping the belt on him as this great Roman Reigns experiment here?
Easily through to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If it hasn't worked after WrestleMania, then they'll take the belt off him.
They won't take it off at WrestleMania, but they'll wait till after?
Yeah, because WrestleMania is meant to be the end of the storybook.
Okay.
You know, that's the WWE yearly reset button. You know, you finish at WrestleMania. That's where the face gets his big payoff. Everybody gets to sing Kumbaya and go home happy.
Okay, fair enough. Everybody, by the way, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, if you haven't got it on your mobile device, download the TuneIn app. You can pay attention to all of our programming while you're out and about doing whatever it is that you're doing. All you got to do is, once you download the TuneIn app, it's 100% free, won't ever cost you anything. Just search for Wild Talk Radio Network and then listen to us wherever you might be. Yeah, that being said, why don't we take our first break of the evening? Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a whole bunch more of, I don't know, stuff coming up.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
I told you, I told you.
Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. That looks like a ceiling in the sky. Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I heard the wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks once again for joining us, proving that you have no life on a Sunday night. Was that mean?
Close to accurate, I suppose.
I didn't mean to be mean. I was just like saying, you know, it's not like we've got things to do, so, you know, nice of you to join us. Yeah. So, hey, we were talking about Roman Reigns before the break there. Did you guys catch Steve Austin's take on Roman Reigns?
Well, even if we didn't, I'm sure you'll remind us.
Oh, of course, it's in the rundown, so it's not like you couldn't have read it during the break. But, yeah, apparently Austin spoke with Wade Keller on the latest edition of PW Torch Livecast. And one of the topics they talked about happened to be Roman Reigns winning the WWE title and his in-ring skills. And basically, Austin, it boils down to he's got to step up, and he's been given the golden, or, you know, he's been given the brass ring. It's up to him to make sure that it stays polished. I guess that's it in a nutshell. After reading this, it basically makes me think of everything I've heard Mace say for a good 6 months minimum. to tell you the truth, which is proof, Mace, that there are other people who think the way you do.
Yeah. Surprisingly Yay. Enough to hear one of them is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Neat, huh?
I'm glad to see he's a fan of mine.
There you go. Omega, do you have anything to chime in over this?
Not especially.
No.
Demonstrates the difference between someone who is given the brass ring and someone who has to reach out for it.
Pretty much. He hasn't, you know, there's the thing. I think that's the number one bone of contention everybody against Roman Reigns has, is they see this as something handed to him and not something he's earned. Is that fair enough?
Well, we've known for a while he is the chosen one of the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, if you look at it, you know, you're saying the chosen one currently. Has there been anybody previously who has been considered the chosen one, never mind McIntyre, who actually got the strap and was the guy, but wasn't handed to him, or at least that didn't appear that it was handed to him, that it appeared that he actually did reach out and take it on his own?
Well, that depends, because there's more than one way of taking that ring. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a while, one of the chosen guys was John Cena back when it was the crowd getting him over. And mm-hmm. Thuganomics was the hottest gimmick on the WWE tour.
Yep.
But, you know, change things up, force it down our throats. That story kind of changed. Around the same time, you had Brock Lesnar, who, okay, not the greatest guy on the microphone, but good Lord, he gets it done in the ring.
Yep.
So I would say both of them earned their brass ring in doing it in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Roman is decent at best in the ring and still awful on the mic. It's really hard to tell how he has earned it other than, yeah, someone pushed that ring a lot closer than it has been for others.
Well, it also goes back to what I've been saying about the whole journey. You know, you take a look at some of the guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like Shawn Michaels, like The Rock. You know, these are guys that went up through the ranks. They started out as something that didn't quite work. When they found something that worked, they were in the mid card. They had IC title runs. They got, you know, European title runs. They got mid card time. They developed their character during that time. Then when they started to really peak with their character, then they got that main event push. They started chasing the belt. Then when they finally got the belt, it was the peak of everything. It was when they had everything down packed. Their character was perfected. Their skills, their style, everything perfect. And then from there, they had successful title reigns. And those are the guys that get remembered. A guy like Roman Reigns, what's he really done? He came in with the Shield, was hot for 12 months, basically just stood in the back, said nothing, really didn't do much. Got a tag team title. When they split up, they decided, hey, we're going to push you to the moon. That didn't work. Oh, you're injured for 6 months? Cool, that's your cool-off time. As soon as you come back, to the moon! Oh, here's the belt, by the way, because Seth Rollins is injured. Now go out there and get over. Where's his development time, for fuck's sake?
There really wasn't.
Development time isn't just the time you spend in NXT or FCW or anything like that. You have to develop with the crowd that is there, with the Raw crowd. It's why people have so many problems with guys like Kevin Owens that come in, they get the quick pop, and then they go, well, what's this guy done for me lately?
Uh-huh.
Because he hasn't time to develop in the company. And when you get guys like Roman Reigns who get hot-shotted to the friggin' moon twice, crowd's going to turn on him and go, well, we don't want to see this. We want to see... You know, we want to see Cesaro, who's been busting his ass for the past 2 years. You know, we want to see Daniel Bryan, who's got some of the best in-ring skills we've seen in decades. You know, we want to see guys that take their time to advance their skills, their character, and everything in front of us and have built this emotional connection with. With Roman Reigns, you have a bunch of catchphrases. You have a punch and a spear. And that's it. There's no emotional connections. There's no reason why the crowd should give a shit.
You have poorly developed mic skills. I won't say anything about his in-ring work because, well, again, it just comes back to respecting all the boys and girls who actually go in there every night, risking their health and well-being to entertain all of us. He can be made to look better than he is, I will say that much.
I just think WWE put themselves into such a far corner, they had to push somebody as a new face.
Mm-hmm.
They relied on the same old crew for this so long now, you know, and hadn't developed anybody. So I don't, no matter who it was on, no matter who eventually got that kind of push and who got that belt next, it was going to be somebody who got, you know, like, you know, shot, you know, to the moon in order to get that belt. Seth Rollins, now, way better on the mic, better in the ring. So we don't cry foul when he's holding the belt because he actually has a little bit more going for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, notice him and Roman are basically on level with each other as far as how far they've gotten in the WWE, how long they've been around, and how much they did before winning the world title. But yep. We really don't complain that much about Rollins doing it, but Reigns is another matter. And that goes for the difference in talent and ability in the ring.
Yeah. Well, with Rollins when he was healthy and around and was, you know, defending the title, I will say that I have noticed that they would take him to the point of being a whiny little bitch, cowardly heel champion, and then the next thing you know, he's winning cleanly in a big match.
That was always the strange way of booking him is, okay, fine, he's this cowardly heel who tries to worm his way out of matches, but once he's actually put in a match, he actually has no problem handling it on his own.
And I didn't have any problems believing when he initially was fighting Lesnar that he was acquitting himself quite well. I mean, I fully expected something to happen. I didn't expect him to win and beat Lesnar, but he had me thinking, well, you know, he's running with the big dog here.
Well, you also take a look at the way that Rollins has been portrayed since leaving the Shield. Okay, in the Shield, he was another guy that you wouldn't look twice at and think that he would go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, you know, when these guys appeared, I'm like, okay, Seth Rollins is the one that's going to be the guy who's going to end up back in NXT or something like that. Yet, you know how wrong I was. But you take a look at his progression since leaving the Shield. He came out and he said, you know, I was the architect of the Shield. I was the smartest man there. I was the one who was organizing the attacks. I was the one who he was starting to establish a character.
Yep.
Then, you know, then we got the surprise of, oh, he's cashing in the Money in the Bank in the middle of a match. Okay, that's different. Okay, he won. Holy shit. From there, he advanced his character. He gave people reasons to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up until the point where he, you know, until he got injured. As much as he wasn't exactly, you know, he's not exactly stone cold on the mic, or, you know, his wrestling acumen is quite good. But you sort of sit there going, okay, why is he being able to put on such good matches while his character is complete opposite to his ring style? But at the same time, you had reasons to hate him. You went on a journey with him. Mm-hmm. He's gone through transformations. He's gone from being the second banana in the Shield to turning around and saying, I'm the guy who did it all. You know, I'm the guy who's the smartest one out of the lot. And he has proved that time and time again. Because, you know, as much as he plays up the chicken shit, when he gets in the ring, suddenly he knows what he's doing. It's almost like he's playing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what creates a connection with the crowd. Again, you know, Roman Reigns, he hasn't changed since leaving the Shield. You know, all they've been able to do is really put a microphone in his hand and go, here's a bunch of lines, read them. He's still got the same Shield music, he's got the same look, same moveset, practically the same character that he had
but
in
he's
the
making
Shield.
Testicle jokes now.
So?
He makes food-based testicle jokes, that's his character.
Well, we lived through the 90s, we saw that with The Rock, Mankind, Stone Cold, and everybody else under the sun. But that's the thing, you know, okay, food-based testicle puns aside, what has there been to his character?
I'm going to hit you really hard.
And that's what he did in The Shield.
I'm The Rock's cousin.
That's Nia Jax.
Nia Jax carries it better.
Yeah, no shit. but you see what I mean, though? It's Seth's gone through the transformations, and he's been able to build a bond with the crowd through his actions and the storylines that he's been given. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, we're being forced all these storylines and all these reasons why we should like him, but there is zero emotional connection there because the crowd hasn't gone on the journey with him. We've been forced to watch his journey.
Now, you brought something up a year ago that I have fully 100% agreed with and in fact, endorsed every time you brought it up, that they mishandled Roman after initially screwing him over, that they should have made him just the angry face who takes no prisoners and beats the crap out of all the heels every chance he gets without showing that he's getting beat down, like basically just squashing. Like he matches that he's had with Big Show have been victories that have been eked out, whereas it should have been a case of he should have devastated Big Show with the speed that he has over the, and I choke on this, world's largest athlete. instead of what we did get, would that have changed your opinion and your thoughts?
If they had actually booked him in that way, then I'm quite sure a lot of us would be sitting here right now praising Roman Reigns like we do Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's essentially what they did with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar went roughshod throughout the entire roster, beating up everybody, didn't give a shit who.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted. Now, when you had a babyface with a reason to snap, like he did when he speared Triple H after winning the belt and Sheamus, before Sheamus came out, that was the type of thing we should have been seeing that stuff months ago. We should have been seeing him beating the shit out of the League of Nations single-handed. You know, like, it's almost like the scene in the 1986 Transformers movie. Optimus Prime comes down and just barrels through all the grunts until he gets to Megatron. That's what we should be seeing out of Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we can get an awesome 80s soundtrack behind him. But
I don't know if they can afford Stan Bush.
I don't think they really want to afford Stan Bush lately. Unfortunately, the guy was great in the 80s, not so much now.
He's on like 12 versions of The Touch right now, trying to hold on to some kind of relevancy.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what I'm saying, though. You know, he should be this guy who is this destructive monster whose only opposition is a big heel like Brock Lesnar. So when those two clash, it is like watching, you know, two titans come up against each other. Or, you know, friggin' Hercules going up against Zeus or something like that, you know. It's meant to be this battle of epic, mythic proportions. But because Roman Reigns isn't being booked like that, when he goes up against these bigger guys like Lesnar, who can just throw guys like the Big Show around like a, you know, 500-pound sack of flour, we don't care. Because again, no emotional investment. No reason to get behind Roman Reigns.
No cause, course, or rhyme behind it, really.
Pretty much.
And at this point in time, they've, in our opinion at least, and once again, this is our opinion, they've bungled it so much that they have to follow the course that they've laid out for them. And if the fans finally start backing him, then we've got Roman Reigns as a champion for the next year. If the fans don't back him, then he drops the title at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, probably.
Well, yeah, that's what I do. I give him the 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, okay, let's see what else we can do.
Yeah. We've seen him on – we've seen so many plans and so many backstage reports about, well, they want to push him. They want to give him the title, but the fans aren't behind him yet. He needs a little bit more work, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you know, there's only so long you can keep the floaties on before you just have to dump them in the deep end. And that's exactly what this is. It's like, okay, we put this off long enough. There's no other stalling. There's nothing else we can do. Just dump him in. See if he can swim. Yeah, and if he blows it now, he's going to spend the rest of his life in the mid-card.
Well, how tied down is he to having to do what they tell him he needs to do in the ring, as opposed to having the freedom to have things called in the ring with his opponent?
Honestly, a guy like him, I think, is so scripted. There's no room for error.
Yeah.
We're talking
Randy Savage levels of scripted here.
Yeah. Like, when you're talking, like, modern-day WWE, I mean, you can hear people shouting in the ring. Like, I've literally heard Paige, thank you, Botchamania, shout, what's the next spot? Oh, yeah.
I think we've all heard that on a pay-per-view or a Raw together on more than one occasion in the past year.
Yeah, but you can see it a lot when a spot goes wrong, when someone trips, or when they don't get someone up all the way for a move, they go right back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't improvise. They don't play it up. They don't make something out of it. Just try it again and hope it doesn't go wrong this time.
That's one of the things.
It's one of the reasons why is the original Sin Cara was only on SmackDown.
Yeah. I think it's the character that's cursed and not the wrestler playing the character, I'm thinking.
I don't know. I don't think sort of turning around and saying, hey, Roman, we're going to let you have free reign over the microphone is going to do any better.
I have always been of the firm opinion, and I have voiced it more than a few times. Stop letting him talk so much.
He needs a mouthpiece.
I wouldn't Roman, say he needs a mouthpiece. I think he just needs to shut up.
Roman Reigns talking is the biggest obstacle I personally have with his character. Because I see him in the ring and he's winning this and he's winning that and he's beating people up finally after making sure that all the spots are taken care of. Fine, I get it. But the second he opens up his mouth, I'm like, okay, you just lost me. It's like if you were watching episode 7 and right before Han Solo would look at the camera and say, hey guys, watch this.
Yeah. I think some of his strongest moments has come in this most recent feud with the Authority. Just like when he's standing there just taking slaps from Stephanie, that makes him look better than any of the promos he's been shouting.
Oh, that was sweet. How many was that in a row? 6?
A lot. I kind of lost count. You know, Mace will get this. At one time, it just felt like the 100 hand slap from Street Fighter.
and the thing about that was, he kept taking the hits.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of looked and went, "Is that all?"
Yeah, he was like, smiling through it. Like,
yeah, it was like, "Is that all you got, bitch?"
Yeah. That spoke volumes more than anything he's ever said with a microphone in his hand. You know, when he tore through a heap of security guards, that says way more than when he's speaking on a mic.
We have on more than one occasion discussed that ever elusive two-letter word, and I'm using air quotes, it. Certain wrestlers have it, whatever it happens to be. The Rock had it. Bret Hart had it. Shawn Michaels had it. Stone Cold had it. Brock Lesnar has it. Seth Rollins has it. Dean Ambrose, in my opinion, has it. Does Roman Reigns have it?
No. In my opinion, no.
Now, with your opinion being no, is that because of what we've seen so far, or just overall you haven't seen the potential for it to be there?
I just don't think. Like, he's just too much of a he's a manufactured man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paper champion.
No.
Paper.
Literally,
no,
he's
packaged, pre-processed, USDA approved product.
Fast food as opposed to the filet.
He's been through the system so many times that it's taken the nature and the natural element clean out.
Okay.
To the point where he is just a piece of meat covered in plastic.
He's what you would get is if you were trying to create the perfect wrestler / marketing machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he is.
You know what he is? He's the most common thing produced in WWE 2K Create a Wrestler.
He is Mr. Default.
Yeah.
Which I find hilarious because the default looks absolutely nothing like him, but sure. I know what you mean.
There you go. Go with that one. Okay.
By the way, quick shout out to Mr. Nick Diddy, who's on his way to Wrestle Kingdom 10, I believe. Is it Wrestle Kingdom 10? Yes, it is.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, hey, Nick Diddy.
He did offer a live cross when he got there, but I said it would probably be a bit too noisy at the arena for him to call in.
Ah, so like he's on his way there now, or he's already there? Or?
He's on his way there now, so he tells me.
Okay, so is he listening on the TuneIn app for free?
I believe so. He's listening somehow because he knows that we're on the air.
There you go. Hello, Nick Diddy, and Happy New Year to you from all the way over here to where you are. And enjoy the show tonight. There you go. But anyway, let's just like finish talking Roman Reigns because I'm sick and tired of him. And let's just move on to our Down and Dirty Year in Review show. What do you guys think?
Okay. Can I have a breakfast?
Why don't we take our second time out of the evening then?
That's good to me because I need to pee.
I was about to say that gives everybody a chance to replenish, you know, drain it so they can refill it, yada, yada, yada. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much to PW Mania for affiliating with us. Once again, if you want to check out all your wrestling news and views, check out www.pwmania.com. Now, if our producer is paying attention, he'll take us into a commercial break. I don't think he's paying attention. Is there a football game on tonight, Mace?
He's already peeing.
Is he think he's peeing? Well, I should have actually asked you because you're the football expert.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, Omega, how about them Legos?
Shut up. Mine are coming in tomorrow.
I'm trying to think of a topic I can talk with you about that's not wrestling or sports. Shit.
I'm debating a Ghostbuster firehouse they made of Lego, and it's not a healthy thought to have.
How much?
$350.
Jesus. And that's separate from the entire thing that's coming out for next Christmas.
Yeah, that that came out after Christmas, strangely enough.
Oh wow, so it was early. Yeah. So, seen any good movies lately?
Just Star Wars. That's all there is.
You want to break it down and talk about? Yeah, you want to hear all of my negative and bad thoughts about the new Star Wars?
Well, I would prefer not to because it's still kind of a touchy thing. I have a gist of what you know what you probably find fault with it.
Yeah, well, if you've heard me tear down Star Trek Into Darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I could tear down the Force Awakens for the same. Well, not exactly identical, but very similar reasons.
And you know, I could probably support the movie for those exact same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what you're getting at without saying anything about it.
I think that's exactly
what the movie had to do.
I'm trying to have a good discussion about this without letting anything out of the bag. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but
Don't you love it when you walk in on the end of a conversation?
Oh yeah, we were just talking Star Wars. You missed it.
Too bad.
Yeah, we're just still waiting for our producer to get off his ass and get to the computer and actually, you know, produce because currently we're on a commercial break and. We haven't gone to commercial yet, and so people are listening to us just talk about whatever.
Well, considering the producer's not really around, might as well just continue, I guess. Oh, now he begins the fucking commercial break. Fuck you two, you fucking mongrel.
Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Time to go and get out.
There's only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said... Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh?
Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making...
I
seen him too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Wow.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway kicking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! Get the fuck out!
I think you changed the
answer, Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
I'm coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is TNA Superstar EC3, Unbeaten World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Come heavy or don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all.
And Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Back after a one-week hiatus for the Christmas break. Thanks for joining us yet once again. Appreciate it. Guys, why don't we talk, do our down and dirty review slash preview type thing here. And talk about the year that was and the year that we can expect.
Sure, why not? As it says here on the run sheet.
There you go. What do you want to see for 2016? What's your wrestling wish list, Mace?
My wish list consists of one fairly simple thing. For creative to pull their heads out of their asses and actually be creative again.
Ooh.
That's asking a lot.
Hence why I only asked for the one thing.
One thing.
How exactly do you want them to accomplish said thing?
Well, that would be about 450,000 hours that I could spend explaining it, or just sort of put it, let's just try and make wrestling exciting again.
Supposedly, the word around the water cooler is the next few weeks are supposed to be really exciting.
That's for us to decide now, isn't it?
It is. And they're working backwards from WrestleMania. They've already started planning.
Okay, so if the next few weeks are meant to be exciting, that means we're getting multiple weeks of NXT TakeOver events.
No, I don't think so, no.
Oh, well then, if they've already fucking failed.
But hey, at least you're getting your wish. They've started writing backwards from Mania. To start.
You never write a book backwards.
But they're planning ahead.
By going backwards.
Yes, they have an endpoint, so they're working backwards.
This is not Doctor Who, goddammit. You cannot work like that.
That's how they book wrestling, though. You work backwards. That's what they've always done in the past. And it's worked pretty well. Just not in the last 10 years, because they never do it.
Yeah, well, fuck them. They've already failed anyway.
There you go. Okay, so your wish list is just smarten the fuck up and give us good wrestling. What's yours, Omega?
A Divas Revolution that actually revolutionizes something.
One that doesn't stall in mid-go, hey?
One that doesn't stall out. One that doesn't minimize the girls by putting him in a faction immediately. One where we have an even number of faces and heels as opposed to, I think, one, maybe two faces in the division.
Becky's a babyface.
That's one. And I'll tell you, the other one is Natty, and she's barely on TV.
Boo to that.
And then everyone else is a heel. Except the Bellas, who can't figure out what the hell they want to be every week.
Mid-match.
From day to day.
Yeah. No, from start of match to end of match. One point they're babyfaces in the match, and then one point they're heels in the match. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, we've got a very deep Divas roster for once. We actually have potential for them to be really good, and then we have crop like Bailey and Asuka, who will one day join them, unfortunately. I'd like it to be a better place once they do.
I would agree with that. So, Tim, what's on your wish list?
Oh! What is on my wish list for WWE 2016?
More Canadians.
No.
More Mexicans?
No.
More Japanese people?
More Mex-Americans.
Mex-Americans.
What I would really like is we got a lot of it in the first half of 2014. We got glimpses of it this past year. I want to have, you know, excitement and that wow factor is what I want. That's my wrestling wish list. More of the wow factor, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, hey, look at this. I'm on the edge of my seat. Oh, my God, I've got to watch the replay. It was so good.
Less predictability, then?
Thank you. That's, yeah, okay. That's part of it. It's more than just predictability, though.
Less predictability, more intrigue, something to keep you hooked week to week.
Like, I don't want to say more holy shit moments, because that just that connotes spot fests, and I'm definitely not talking about that.
No, you want a story that keeps you going and keeps you hooked and intrigued from week to week and makes you want to tune in.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You know, it doesn't need it. Oh my God, they drove him through at 5,000 tables. You don't need that. They're cool moments, but they're not, they don't keep the story going.
Yeah, no, I want a good story that, like, you know, and this is where the unpredictability part of it does come in. I want a good storyline, series of storylines that, you know, they have that have that wow factor, the unpredictability, the believability. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Okay. Well, that's my wish list. What about you, Rock? Seeing as you're chiming in here.
No, I can go back and disappear again. No, I'm with you. More intriguing storylines. That's a good one. Cause that's what keeps you in. You want to see characters sort of advance and sort of give you a reason to care. Cause there's a lot of times on Raw, you lose interest in the character. And once you lose interest in the character, there's no reason to watch the show. If from week to week you're interested to see how this character advances and where they're headed, that brings more people in and keeps you hooked as a viewer. It's great to have good, compelling matches, but those matches need a story. So my wish list would be more storytelling throughout the show to keep me going and caring about even guys like Ryback, because they're the hardest characters to care about. That's for me.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. This next question, if I throw it at Mace, it just basically, he's answered it already, all encompassingly, with his answer to the wrestling wish list. What do you want to see change in 2016?
I'd like to see change. The end of scripted promos. If there's one thing that I want to see end, it's scripted promos. Give people a chance to be organic. Give them a chance to work out who they want to be instead of saying, this is who you are. You know, let's go back to the days of where all you had to really do to get over was be yourself and turn that up to 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
What, Tim? What?
Just when he said turn it up to 11, it just, I had a quick flash of a fake documentary about a rock and roll group.
It goes up
yes,
to 11.
Yes, we know Spinal Tap.
Yep.
As for if there was actually something that could actually be physically changed, I'd change the sets for Raw and SmackDown so that they have a bit of personality again. You know, both having the same set and just playing different, you know, LED banners over the top, it just makes the shows seem like they're just nothing. You know, it's like, what's the difference between watching Main Event, Superstars, SmackDown, and Raw in terms of the presentation?
Yeah.
The logo changes. None of those programs seem to have a style of their own or a look of their own anymore.
WWE red, WWE blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't work for Superman, doesn't work now.
Yeah, go back to a few different, like, okay, keep the Raw set the way it is. And maybe change SmackDown around a bit. You know, when did we enjoy watching SmackDown? You know, it was back in the early days where they had the rounded set that Rhino eventually destroyed. Or, you know, the giant fist that we could make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that gave the shows a separate personality and sort of gave the show almost its own set of themes. Whereas now it's like, okay, Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars. It's just a logo change.
Yeah. See, it used to be WWE Monday Night Raw had a very gritty industrial feel. It was all heavy metal tubings and, you know, and rigging, and that's where you saw like backstage interviews take place in front of a chain link fence and barrels and shit like that. Whereas SmackDown had kind of a modern, sleek look to it. You know, it was silver and blue and nice and round.
Ah, sound.
The hell?
I don't know what that was.
I went to ImpactWrestling.com and apparently they placed sound right away. They changed their website. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Why would you go to Impact Wrestling? Nobody goes to the shows. Why would you go to their website?
Because I was reading that they changed their website. I wanted to see how awful it was.
Fair enough.
Found out.
It's a rogue. It's a car crash. You got to stop and look.
Yeah, you do.
Sorry, yeah, back in the day, back in the prime, Raw was industrial, SmackDown was technological, and it had a very distinct flavor to each one. Now it's all techno. Both shows take place in front of one, what essentially is one massive light bright.
Wop, 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 wop. Expecting Blake and Murphy to walk out all of a sudden.
Yeah, speaking of car crash.
Hey, but they're fun to watch, okay?
Oh, I just mean their introduction.
That's a seizure. Yeah. It's a seizure, not a car crash.
Well, it sounds like a car crash. Because it's dubstep. Who the hell's using dubstep for intro music?
Blake and Murphy. yeah. So, yeah, to throw the question on to everybody else.
hold on. I was trying to find the area. Here it is. There's the music. Thank you, Blake and Murphy.
That's the third iteration, isn't it?
That's the latest theme.
Yeah. That's what they're currently using. I prefer the second one.
Yeah, that's a little mellower than their previous one.
Yeah.
Like the
second thing was full blown wob wob.
Yeah, that was auditory whiplash.
Yeah, that's the one that WWE put out on their music channel.
You don't even know what the other one was.
Hmm. And the other one has more wah 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 wah.
Want to do that again?
No.
Okay. You want car crash though? I'll give you car crash.
Oh no, you're gonna play McFoley's.
Yeah, just car crash. Like the entire time you said car crash, I was like, I gotta find McFoley's theme though. But anyway, so Tim, what do you want to see change?
What do I want to see change? The authorities' involvement in storylines and shit. I want that gone. Is the change that I want. I'm tired of the whole thing with, you know, the people in charge being pricks to people working for them. Brock, you can understand more than one reason why I feel that way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, but if you got rid of people being pricks in pro wrestling, then there'd be no pro wrestling.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. You can keep the pricks. I'm just talking about the pricks in charge.
Yeah, but the pricks in charge are the ones that can do the paychecks and keep people employed, unfortunately.
You don't have to be a dick.
I'm sorry to poke holes in your little, your change here, but let's be honest, Tim. You know, you yourself have been a wrestling promoter. You know that 99% of promoters out there are pricks.
Yeah.
And the reason why this shit still happens.
Yeah, well, my character was Superface Promoter.
So you were... I'm not going to even say it. Continue. Not even going to do it.
Don't even bring it up then. Shut up. So, yeah, okay. I guess that means we're attempting bold predictions.
I don't know. Omega, was there anything you wanted to change?
Yeah, you forgot about Omega.
Well, there you go. Like,
Tim's memory.
Yeah, okay, change my memory. Omega, what would you like to see change in 2016?
The writing staff's employment status.
Would you want to get, how many of the 28 writers would you like to get rid of?
29. I want them to fire everybody and then fire the first guy they hire because, you know, that's just going to be the same old shit. To be truthful, Vince McMahon's involvement.
More or less.
A lot of this shit comes down to him having the final say and going, no, I don't want to do that. Or, no, let's push this guy. You know, that's his words to say, well, Cesaro doesn't connect to the fans. You know, meanwhile, the whole crowd's fucking chanting for him louder than they are Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Vince. That's why Ryback has so many pushes. Because he's a big guy, and Vince has a hard-on for big guys. He is not the genius he once was. Like, he knows the business in and out, but he no longer knows the audience that's watching his business.
You figure he's out of touch with the fans.
He's way out of touch. He was out of touch, like, 10 years ago. He was out of touch when he canned Pirate Burchill, who was... over as hell at the time, while Pirates of the Caribbean was the biggest thing in the movie theaters for years, and Vince is the one pulling the plug saying Pirates aren't relevant.
Yeah, that's a point. But at the same time,
almost forgotten about Pirate Virgil.
At the
same time. At the
same time. Swinging onto the ramp, throwing out treasure to the audience.
Yeah.
Wench Regal.
At the same time, were you digging Virgil's storyline?
Aside from his feud with Regal, he didn't really have a storyline, and I didn't care because he was fun. That's what I miss out of the WWE. Everyone has a serious name. Everyone has a gimmick with an attitude problem. Virgil was fun. It's pro wrestling. It's stupid and it's cheesy, and I love that in pro wrestling.
Hey, I watched Pirates of the Caribbean because of Virgil.
I'm rewatching the entrance now, and all it was him swinging off a box.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, it's all. I have a question for you, Omega.
Uh huh.
What do you think Raw's main demographic is?
Now, see, that is difficult because you'd like to think they're targeting kids. They're targeting the. The older kid, the young adult, the ones that are, able to talk mom and dad into the toys or buy them with allowance at some point.
It's 50-year-olds is what the ratings say, that the highest demographic is for males in the 50s.
See, that honestly does not surprise me.
Because it's kids who were men in their 30s when the Attitude Era started.
Yeah, it's people who still watch out of loyalty. I think at this point, a lot of us watch WWE out of more loyalty than anything and just hope this Raw is better than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised at that. Like, it tells me, well, PG era might make, investors happy. Not really making, audience happy. If they're promoting something that's supposed to be kid friendly and your highest ratings are from 50-year-olds, that's not the best sign.
No, but it's reality.
So it's weird.
Yeah. So you want a simplified writing staff going forward, and the removal of Vince McMahon with his influence, sort of.
Essentially.
While you're at it, can you get rid of Kevin Dunn? Please. Pretty please.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Fuck.
Time for bold predictions.
Let's start with Omega. That way I don't forget him this time. See how I did that? And I don't have to put up with any senility jokes for at least 5 minutes.
Let's see. God, see, it's like I've had this run sheet for a while now, and I've not been able to think of anything that would be a bold prediction.
Something outrageous, something that not something, this will actually happen, something just...
I know the definition!
I know, I'm trying to fill time giving you,
I know, but WWE is so bland and homogenized now, it's hard for me to imagine anything that would be bold.
Doesn't have to be WWE.
Yes, it does! It's all I have.
Hey, it could be a bold prediction for what you want to see happen in the wrestling business in general. A bold prediction. TNA will once again regain form and have 1 million-plus viewers per week on
Pop TV. Bold, not stupid.
Hey, it could be a stupid, bold prediction. I don't care.
Stupid, bold prediction.
Could be. Do I need to come back to you?
Yeah, come back to me.
All right, Mace, what's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction will be that Nikki Bella has to retire from WWE, which forces Brie to go, fuck it, I'm going to go be a housewife, which leaves such a divot in the Divas division that when they call up a few more of these NXT girls, finally it clicks that maybe it's the girls actually wrestling that people want to see rather than, the shit on Total Divas. And they actually get a 30-minute main event on Raw.
All right, we have King Kins. You better be writing these down, intern. So we can have this on file for next year. See if this actually happens. All right, Tim. What's your bold prediction?
Oh my God. Daniel Bryan returns to the thunderous cheers of the fans, only to wind up being a trainer and not wrestling anymore.
So far, I've heard two realistic things that will actually happen because of Nikki's injury and Daniel Bryan's injury. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
They're both realistic possibilities because Daniel Bryan has been offered a trainer spot and he did turn them down for the time being, just so you're aware.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, Omega, what's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction. God. One bold, let's say Dean Ambrose wins the world title.
Hey, there you go. It's bold.
Mine didn't have to do with anyone losing their career.
It did, because Roman would have to lose it, so, you know, technically, you know.
Yeah, Roman loses the belt to Dean Ambrose and goes into the mid-card where he disappears forever.
God damn it, Omega, it's your fault Roman Reigns didn't get pushed.
I don't see a problem with this.
Here's a bold prediction for you. Emma has Zack Ryder's child.
Now, are you talking, like, for real or storyline?
For real. For real.
Oh, they're dating, are they?
Yeah, they're dating.
Okay. I'm just assuming from Mace's laugh that he did not know this.
No, I didn't, but still it's fucking funny.
It's a bold prediction.
It just goes to show that a tasted Ben is absolutely fucking terrible no matter where she is in the world. She couldn't even suck dick to fucking make sure she gets back on the main roster. She goes with the main event to fucking superstar.
Oh my God.
Yep. Emma sleeping her way to the middle.
No, she's not even sleeping her way to the middle. She's sleeping her way to the fucking bottom rung.
Oh, hey, it's not Heath Slater.
He'd be a step up from Ryder. I'm sorry, but he'd be a step up from Ryder. Oh, thank you, Rock. That's made my week. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so that's bold predictions. Time to go to review the year that was in WWE and professional
wrestling. Hey, we're doing WWE booking. We're going backwards.
Going backwards.
Yeah.
What do you think? Let's start with let's start with match of the year. What do you guys think was match of the year in 2015?
Oh boy, there's so many good matches. Actually,
just gonna round table this or just?
Yeah, just round table. Just start throwing out some matches.
Blurt something out.
Yeah, blurt something out.
Fill dead air, god damn it.
Alright, well I'll start us off then. US Open Challenge, Cesaro versus John Cena.
Good.
That's my nomination.
Can we throw the obvious one out?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Bayley and Sasha, NXT Brooklyn.
That's the one we picked on the rack, yeah. That was match of the year for us. What about you, Tim? You gonna throw one out there?
I'm thinking. I've actually got a list in front of me, and I'm just looking at them, and which one of these would I pick? Because all of these are really good. I mean,
you were a big fan of John Cena and Kevin Owens this year.
Well, yeah, because they were absolutely great matches. But at the same time, you had Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens, Beast from the East. That was, you know, that was really good. Bayley versus Sasha, Respect was awesome.
That was the Iron Man match.
Yeah. Brooklyn was good, but again, you know, that my out of the two of them, I'd pick Respect, the Iron Man match. You know, Hell in a Cell was 95.786 good. You know, for me, match of the year. Oh, damn it. I'm seriously having a hard time with this.
I was trying to give you your easy answer, John Cena and Kevin Owens.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's the easy answer, right?
No, Sasha and Bayley at Brooklyn is the easy answer.
Well,
it's basically what comes in number two, at least for me and Omega apparently now.
Now, like they had three matches, Elimination Chamber, Money in the Bank, and Battleground. I really liked Money in the Bank.
Okay, well, that's the one you go with. That works for
okay.
you. Okay. All right, so there you go. That's their matches of the year. All right, let's go with, we'll move it around. Let's go with Event of the Year.
Event of the Year.
What show for you, Omega, stood out the most?
It's a cliche answer, but probably WrestleMania 31. I mean, some goofy endings aside, there were some really, really solid matches top to bottom on that show.
All right, Mace, what about you? What event stood out to you the most?
NXT TakeOver. Just pick one. anything with that moniker, just go for it. Because all the NXT TakeOvers this year have actually been, like, they set a really high bar with the first few this year. Now it's just bang, bang. They're just going higher, 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 and they don't seem to have a cap on it.
And they all have a different feel to them.
Yeah, like, everywhere they go, it is a different feel. You know, whether it's they're going to Brooklyn, whether they're going to UK, it does have that different feel to it. And it's a bit of a runner up because I want to put this in there because it was a good event. Was the Japan, Beast in the East show. Only because, again, it was something that felt different. Sure, it was just a live event with cameras, but the Japanese crowd just gave it such a different flavor.
And the Baylor and Baylor Owens match with all the spectacle they gave that.
Yes.
Added just to that, and you know, Brock Lesnar killing Kofi Kingston, you know.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was just a lot of fun. All right, Tim.
Uh oh. You're allowed to pick the same thing that somebody else picks.
No. Yeah, of course you are.
Because, yeah, I really, really enjoyed that one.
Enjoyed what?
The Beast from the East.
Okay, well, Mace's word, TakeOver, his number two was Beast from the East. So your number one's Beast from the East.
Well, I really enjoyed it. It was really good, but would I have that at number one? That's the question, right?
That is the question, Tim. It is event of the year.
All right, cut it out. I'm gonna go with TakeOver Respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. Let's go with, Breakout Star of the Year. Who do you think broke out this year, Mace?
Seth Rollins. He really hit his stride this year. And, you know, besides the fact of becoming the number one heel in the company until he got injured, we were all wondering what the hell was gonna happen next, especially the WrestleMania cash-in. You know, they gave this guy chances and opportunities that nobody else has had before. And he ran with it. I definitely believe breakout star of the year was Seth Rollins.
All right, Omega. Who broke out for you?
I've got Seth Rollins, too.
Oh, really?
This is one of those guys where, like I said, they tossed him in the deep end just to see if he could swim, and dude walked on water. Like, okay, poorly written authority angle aside, dude stepped up huge as a singles competitor. He had some really solid matches all year round. Mm-hmm. He played a good character. Just all around, just really impressive in a situation that would have really crippled a lesser superstar. Like, you go straight out of a three-man group and, one tag team title under your belt. And all of a sudden now you're walking out of WrestleMania with the world title and, you know, the main story focal point of the entire company. And he did not fail at it. That speaks volumes.
It does. Tim, you gonna make this unanimous?
Oh, well, you know, if you were gonna be a member of the WWE corporate, you would wind up saying, you know, it was Roman Reigns is the breakout star of the year because they want everybody to love him. But, yeah, it's Seth Rollins. He walked on water. He knew where the rocks were, just below the surface.
What about comeback of the year, Omega?
Comeback of the year, New Day. Because, dear God, they got saddled with an awful gimmick. And, wow, did they make it work. Wow, I've never seen someone turn such a bad and dead in the water, dead on arrival gimmick, go to such incredibly entertainment. And not just like a really well-oiled unit, you know, as a trio, but good Lord, they're like, we've said it so many times last year, That was the reason to watch Raw. Is whatever the New Day pulled, it was worth watching Raw to get it.
I would agree. I agree with you there. Alright, Maze, who's your comeback of the year?
It shouldn't really be much of a surprise, but I'm right there with Omega with the New Day. Like you said, you know, dead in the water gimmick, and they turned it around into the most must-watch moment on a Raw broadcast.
Alright. Tim?
Well, comeback of the year. Does that include a return?
It could.
It could. So if I wanted to, I could say it was Alberto Del Rio.
You could.
Yeah. The only problem with me picking Alberto Del Rio, it kind of ignores the fact that I actually begrudgingly admitted that New Day had sucked me in. So, you know, after months of resisting and not liking, all of a sudden, I don't know. Maybe it was the Rocky theme on the trombone during the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Which led to a really happy coincidence for our intro that night.
It did. It did. Just randomly out of the blue.
I just get that still like, how the fuck did that work out so well?
It just did.
So, it just did.
So what are you going with?
Yeah, New Day.
Let's go with a shocking moment or just moment of the year. Either one. Omega?
See, I had two. One was Rollins cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
Because good storyline in, you know, in story, who the hell would be dumb enough to actually throw themselves between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, but
Seth Rollins.
It actually was an intelligent move.
Yeah, it was.
And yeah, that saved what was otherwise like a really, you know, there wasn't much win in that main event aside from, well, we didn't want to see Roman winning the title at that point. We like even more so than now. Brock was the guy who was coming in every, what, two, maybe, you know, three, maybe 2 months to actually defend the belt. So we didn't have a consistent champion on Raw every week. And then Seth running in, cashes in, and all of a sudden we've got a new world title. We got a new world heavyweight champion.
A new star was born.
Kind of a huge moment. I genuinely did not expect that cash in. Then the other thing I had in was TNA actually managed to find another network.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Kind of have another network. Yeah. Alright, Mace.
Once again, I am following Omega's lead, and I'm going with Seth Rollins cashes in at WrestleMania.
Because it's like we've been doing this together a long time.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like we discuss things at length at other times.
Or never. Just
not at all, ever. it was mainly due to the fact that it was something that we'd never seen before. Somebody with a Money in the Bank briefcase cashes in during a match. Not at the beginning, not at the end, during a match. And screws over both of the main eventers of WrestleMania. It was something that, it is literally one of those WrestleMania moments.
Could you say it's one of the all-time greatest WrestleMania moments?
Ugh.
I'd have punched you in the throat for that.
Which we're going to be discussing here in a couple minutes.
Kick him in the dick.
Punch you in the junk.
Okay, JSK.
But yeah, that was just, it was one of those moments that you sort of sit back and go, wow, I can't believe that fucking happened. And it pretty much launched Seth Rollins into the fucking stratosphere, so yeah. Seth Rollins cashing in WrestleMania, a shocking moment of the year.
I'll kick you in the junk.
Rest in peace, Jody. I miss you.
All right, Tim.
Of everything that's happened, I can't add to what these guys have already said.
Honestly, they sound something different.
There you go.
Say it in German.
Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Close enough.
Yeah. Everything that could be chosen for all of the potentially most shocking moments of the year. First thing I had was Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Okay, so there you go for that one. Diva of the Year, Tim.
Oh, God.
I mean, you've been leeching off of them for the last couple of categories, so let's throw you out.
Well, I wasn't leeching off them. It's just what Omega and May said. We've done this together too long.
So let's have you start off the chain, see if they follow along.
Oh, God. Well, the problem with the call-ups from NXT is it's been too recent. Otherwise, I would seriously think of one of them.
But why would you discount what they did in NXT, though?
Well, okay, well, if I can include what they did in NXT, then.
Who said you couldn't? I mean, it's their year as a person.
Well, because normally we don't talk as much about NXT as we have tonight. I'm kind of sort of leaning towards Sasha Banks a bit.
Okay.
I mean, like, she had a great run in NXT, and holy cow, did she do a great job putting what's her name over for the title.
Not only that, she made Becky Lynch in NXT as well.
Yeah.
All right, Omega.
Since Tim was nice enough to completely forget her name, my choice is going to be Bayley. I've never seen. Here's what I like. She is the nicest, sweetest character I've ever seen on WWE TV in a day where everyone thinks they need an edge. You know, they need to be all black tattooed up to be like over with the crowd. It needs to be the anti-hero that's always popular. Here comes this innocent little girl who's just super upbeat and positive, super bright. She's got inflatable arm waving men for an entrance, and she's like the most over woman I've ever seen. It's absolutely incredible. And then she backs it up. She's come so far, and it's not just it's not just like Sasha Banks making her. She pulled so much of her own weight in that match, and then she proves it in her title defenses since. She's got everything she's going to need on the main roster, aside from a miracle.
Which debuts this Tuesday on TNT.
Shut up.
So Bayley for you?
Yep.
Mace.
Play it again, Sam. The exact same words.
All right. So he's not going to even add his own words. Good. Superstar of the Year. Mace.
I'm giving this one to The New Day! So we're gonna have Superstars of the Year. Because fuck it, they're the only reason why I watch the show nowadays, so they win.
Judges?
I don't care, that's fine. He thought outside the box. I don't see you guys saying the same thing, so Omega.
Don't be the man in the box.
No, I have down Brock Lesnar. Okay, he didn't show up as much as anyone else on the roster, but when he did, it was always exciting. You know, he always delivered a good match.
Shit got torn up when Brock showed up.
Oh, yeah. Shit got real.
Shit got real. Michael Cole's shoe died in the middle of the ring.
Michael Cole died.
A fan got hit in the face with a car door liner.
Yeah, Brock TNT. Shows up, and we're throwing car doors around. It takes the entire roster to hold him and Taker apart from each other. That's still one of my favorite moments is when Taker and Brock first re-encountered each other and Michael Cole in the mouth going, I'm getting out of here! They just fucking booked it.
Well, wasn't that like 2 weeks after he ate the canvas courtesy of Brock?
I think so.
Yeah. So you can't blame him. Screw that. I'm out of here.
No, the pull apart was right after Battleground. When Taker showed up and kicked him in the nuts. That's when that was.
Well, yeah. But wasn't it like 2 weeks after Cole had his lunch handed to him?
No, it was months. No? Months. Huh? Battleground was July. Then the Taker and Brock was in July. Could hang into August for SummerSlam. There was months of disappearance.
Mm.
Because Brock came back and fought for the title in July, and, you know, that's where he apologized to Michael Cole. And just basically, whenever he would come out, he would stalk the announce table. Michael Cole would run in fear.
Where was his plexiglass box then?
He needed his coal mine. All right, Tim, Superstar of the Year.
Seth Rollins.
Well,
for all the reasons listed previously when we were talking about Seth Rollins earlier.
Okay. So that's their year in review for 2015. We now move on to the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
So this week is Ronda Rousey confronts Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania 31, or Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30 moment. Omega.
Okay. Ronda Rousey confronting Stephanie. Okay. Kind of cool. It's not what we wanted. You know, we wanted her to take her to the mat with an arm bar. We wanted to see Ronda punch the shit out of her. You know, what we got was a half-hearted standing arm bar that really didn't look like it hurt, because it didn't. You know, the coolest part about that, it was a cool moment, but the coolest part was that she was in a Dragon Ball Z shirt at WrestleMania. You can't compare that to Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30. He had one of the strongest reactions of anyone I've ever seen, because, you know, he's the most over guy in years. Walking into WrestleMania, you know, with, you know, his biggest, you know, not only his biggest feud with Triple H, but also his, you know, the biggest moment of winning the belt. It was an enormous accomplishment. You know, and they should have pulled the trigger on him sooner, but yeah, it was still a right time to give him that moment, because the entire arena exploded for that. Like, that'll be in highlight reels forever.
Mace.
Yeah, like Mace said, Ronda Rousey thing wasn't what we wanted. We want to see Ronda snap somebody's arm. If it was Stephanie's, okay. If Triple H, great. But Vince, holla fucking lawyer. But yeah, Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30 moment is definitely the one I'm looking at, because, again, we went on this ride with him. You know, he was the guy who kept getting fucking pushed down, even though the crowd, and not just the crowd at wrestling events, but crowds worldwide, were doing the yes chant. The guy had started to become a part of the pop culture lexicon. And the WWE were trying their hardest to ignore it. Until they basically cracked the shits like a fucking 2-year-old and said, fine, we'll give you what you want. And it really ended up being a real special moment for him. So yeah, Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30. Yeah.
Tim.
Exactly what they said, and I'm not writing their damn coattails. Daniel Bryan.
Tonight's recap of the show, that's what they said. Alright, Shawn Michaels retires, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, WrestleMania 24, or The Rock finally beat Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 19, Mace.
That look on Michaels' face when he was getting ready to kick Ric Flair is like, I'm sorry, I love you. And then, boom! Straight to the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't beat that for emotion. So yeah, Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24.
Omega.
Yeah, I gotta go the same. It's been the story of this whole show. What he said.
That's what he said.
But it is true that, you know, you're looking back at the Austin and Rock match. Okay, Rock won. Good for him. It wasn't for anything.
Well, it was Austin's last match.
Okay, but it's not, there was no stakes on the line.
No.
No one had a title. No one was the number one contender match or anything like that. It was just Austin and Rock one more time. And that's about it. And yeah, and Mace is like dead on. Just, you know, that moment at the end of the match where Rick knows he's beaten at this point, and he's just urging Sean to go through with it because, you know, this, you know, there's inevitability here. You know, he's resigned to his fate, and he's trying to goad Sean into stop being so reluctant. You know, and yeah, and the look on Sean's face, the reaction, that was just, oof. Yeah, that was just one of the most emotional moments.
That's storytelling.
Yeah.
All right, Tim.
God damn it, broken record.
You're not going to add anything different to it? You're just going to say broken record? We don't want that?
I really can't add anything to it. I mean, yeah, Rock versus Austin and Rock finally winning. It was going to happen anyway. Yes, I know. We were watching the final Ric Flair fight because of the stipulation. You're allowed to wrestle until you lose and then you're done. It was still the emotional thing. There was a lot more investment involved in Flair, Shawn Michaels. I was trying to find a valid argument for picking Rock and Austin. His story, all of a sudden, and no, didn't work.
Didn't work, okay. So those move on. Next week on the All-Time Greatest, Stone Cold Steve Austin passes out at WrestleMania 13 going up against the Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit WrestleMania 20 celebration. And the moment that's been talked about all night, Seth Rollins cashes in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 31 against The Undertaker retiring Shawn Michaels. It's next week.
Right here on Wall Talk Radio Network. Time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
This week, you each get 5 questions.
What?
Yeah.
You're making up for lost time, aren't you?
No, you're all getting the same 5 questions. 1 year from today, we'll start with Mace. Who is the Divas Champion? 1 year from today. Oh, and King Kinge, write these down.
1 year from today, who is going to be... I'm gonna probably go with Paige.
Tim.
Sasha Banks.
Omega.
I will also go with Sasha.
1 year from today, who will be the WWE Tag Team Champions, Omega?
I don't think even the New Day can hold them that long.
They can lose them and get them back.
They can lose them and get them back, yeah, but... God, it's such a hard division. Go Usos.
Mace.
I'm going to go with a very bold prediction of Enzo and Cass.
Ooh.
Tim Stein.
What was the question?
Rob, the question is, who will be 1 year from today the WWE Tag Team Champions?
Oh, God. I know what the question was. Somebody from NXT that will come up in 2016.
That's, you gotta be more specific.
I don't know. Who's in NXT that can come up?
Be more specific, Tim.
I don't know.
So you're going to go what May said because they are from NXT? We're going to continue. That's what he said.
Just so it doesn't continue, I'll say the Usos. Fuck it.
Isn't that what Omega said?
That is what Omega said.
I hate you all.
1 year from today, Tim, who will be the WWE United States Champion?
The United States Champion?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Christ. Finn Balor.
Mace?
John Cena! Yeah, seriously, we will see the return of the John Cena US Open Challenge in a year.
Alright, 1 year from today, he'll be the US champion. Omega, 1 year from today.
Jesus Christ, that's hard. Just because he hasn't had it, Ryback.
One year from today, Maze, who will be the Intercontinental Champion?
Ooh, Intercontinental Champion, this one I will give to Finn Balor.
Tim.
Sami Zayn.
Omega?
God damn it, I was thinking of Zayn.
Sorry, bro.
So that's what he said. You're gonna stick with it? Even though
yeah. Okay. Yeah, why not?
Why not? And 1 year from today, Tim, who will be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
Oh, God. Dean Ambrose.
Okay. Mace.
It will be Roman Reigns on his third title reign of the year.
Third.
And finally, Omega.
Lesnar.
Okay. Oh, and one final one. Who will get fired next year?
Heath Slater.
Kevin Owens.
Whoa.
Now that's a bold prediction.
I could see his weight very quickly becoming an issue in the later half of 2016. Not health-wise, but company-wise.
Tim?
Oh, God. Now you're talking for real and not storyline-wise, huh?
Yeah, I'm talking about for reals.
We get fired. I don't know, Heath Slater.
In 2016, I hope they are more original than that's what they said all night long.
Hey, I most of my predictions were the same thing. It was Tim and Omega that were this time agreeing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean throughout the show you weren't. Oh, that's what he said. You know.
Hey, welcome to WTR, that's what he said edition.
Exactly.
Hopefully. Tune in next week where we'll repeat the same thing three times at random for 2 hours.
Yeah. Rock, you do realize that when Kane Kittens does the write-up,
he doesn't,
the subject line is going to say that's what he said.
Kane Kittens hasn't done a write-up in 8 months.
Well, I get one. Anyway, a recap or whatever.
When was the last time you got a recap from the show? A
couple weeks ago.
He hasn't done one in 8 months, Tim.
Well, anyway. Whatever. He'll do one just so he can put that in the subject line.
It would be good if the intern did it, but the intern doesn't do it.
No, it's not like he gets paid. Anyway.
That's why he's an intern.
That's another edition to that ETR Sunday night. We're back at it next Sunday night, same time, same place, same channel. Check it out. Tomorrow night, however, tune in for the Raw Post Show.
Who leaves Monday Night Raw as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion? Is it Roman Reigns or Sheamus? We'll let you know on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m.
Eastern. It's Reigns.
Shh.
No spoilers.
Making it a cliffhanger. Who will be champion? Tune in and find out, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Yeah. Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
We are finally back live for the first time in 3 weeks, though we've been doing shows. Check it out, 10 p.m. Eastern at rockradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, gertwork.net. You can follow the show on Twitter at rockradioshow, facebook.com/rockradioshow. You can go back and listen to hashtag PopGoesTheRock, where we count down our best moments, wrestler, female, entrance, match, an event of the year. Pop Goes the Rock, and we answer the intern's questions, where he tries to take some shots and, well, fails horribly. So tune in. It's The Rock, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsWard.
Saturday night, midnight is sure as close as I can get to it. Another edition of CB Radio.
We came up with the idea that if we do six, he did six a week, it was like 312 hashtag Blame Rob moments for the year.
Whoa.
It's an average of that. So, you know. Go back and listen to last night's episode where he predicts what wrestler he will come after this year. Who did he say? Find out in the archive available tomorrow at cbradiolive.com, at wildtalkradio.com. You can check the show out every Saturday night, midnight-ish, for the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, and again, cbradiolive.com.
There you go, yeah. And don't forget, there's a new page on Facebook.
Yes, facebook.com/WTRSundayNight is how you like this show. Follow this show on Twitter at WTRSundayNight. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and join our Facebook group. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Yeah, you just like walked right over exactly what I was going to say. You know, what he said. Yeah, there you go. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. You can also follow me on the Twitter machines at Man Kitchen TV. Check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/MenChefs.
By the book, by the book, by the book, by the book.
And yeah, there's a cookbook available. Chris Pierce has a copy of it because he won it. And he endorses it. He says his wife likes it very much. So definitely something to consider and think about. On a serious note, I think you should all buy a copy. It's available in like an actual physical copy, or I can just email you the PDF. Here's a hint. The PDF is a couple of dollars cheaper.
Buy the book, 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 buy the book. Mace, pluck
buy the goddamn book.
Mace, pluck some stuff.
Alright, well, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at the Macing. You can also find my video works over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I will be posting up videos that I should have posted up 2 months ago soon. And you can also find most of my video game write-ups and stuff like that over at theouterhaven.net.
After surviving 31 straight days of videos, Omega.
The final count was 54 videos in December. But I haven't opened my editing program all weekend. Mm-hmm. It's made me so happy.
But hey, coming in 2016, it's going to look more professional.
Yes, so for everything I am currently doing, you can follow me over on Facebook at TJ Reviews or over on Twitter at TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the website for TJOmega.org and all the exclusive videos there. But the majority of my stuff can be found at TG Omega over on YouTube, where it is daily content every single weekday. And yeah, I got a lot of new Christmas stuff that's all going to make everything look super professional from now on and make everything all nice and pretty.
Ken Ken says take a day off.
King Kittens, go see a doctor.
But yes, if you want to see all the professional things, you gotta go watch his vlog on YouTube, youtube.com/TJOmega. Fancy lights.
Fancy lights.
Fancy lights. Alright, Tim.
I guess that's it. We're done. Join us next Sunday night, everybody. Until then, have a good week.
Oh, Cowboys suck.
Yeah, the Eagles are all that much better.
Better than Cowboys.
Go
well,
Seahawks.
The Hunters are fucked.
Go Seahawks.
Go Sports Ball. BioTalkRadio.com.